Are you looking for a plan, maybe a blueprint for success for you in building in this industry? Well, today's episode is going to give you that. We're talking with a dear friend of mine, Craig Cushman, a sales leadership training speaker, coach, and he's going to give you the real goods on how to accomplish what you want to accomplish in your business.
Welcome to the MLM You Decide podcast.
We're your hosts, Janine Finney and Laura Evans.
Each week, we'll bring you conversations about the good and the misunderstood aspects of MLM, multi-level marketing, network marketing.
It's time to get informed because making a decision with only half the information could be the most expensive decision you make.
Let's dive into today's episode. I am so thrilled about our guest who joined us today. Before I share with you his official interview or his official bio so that I get his credentials correct, I just want to share a personal story about how I came to know and how I was introduced to Craig Cushman. We were working at a similar company, the same company, and I think I may have transitioned into working in the field at that time, and he had been hired to work in the corporate world, but serving the field, supporting, leading the field, sales leadership training, et cetera. And I just fell in love with his energy, his enthusiasm, his straight talk when it comes to goal setting and helping. I saw how he helped people really frame what their vision and their goal was because he was willing to ask questions and he was willing to ask more questions. And then he was able to not put up with like the surface answers that we give about our goals or about why we're doing the business or those kinds of things. So he got to the real source of motivation for folks related to why they were doing what they were doing in their business and why they weren't doing things that maybe they should or could be doing in their business. So I saw him in action with that over and over again, and he became just a dear friend and a mentor to me and an inspiration. And I'm so glad to share him with this audience because you're going to get something out of what we talk about today with Craig Cushman. His official background is he built his career in sales leadership, direct selling, and network marketing, company leadership, learning, and education. His goal is to awaken possibilities as well as generate and infuse energy in the people and the organizations that he works with. He has developed expert skills in simple, complex, and strategic selling strategies, C-level relationships, advanced listening, and rapport skills. Craig is a sought-after speaker, one of the best ever. I've seen him captivate audiences from as small as 10 people to as large as over 100,000. He conducts powerful coaching sessions in sales leadership, ranging from a few hours to even several days. So please welcome my friend, Craig. Craig, thanks for joining us today.
Oh my goodness. It's an honor. It's a thrill and an honor. And I'm really grateful to be asked to come in and talk with the two of you. It's a pleasure. And I hope that I can give something meaningful to your audience.
Well, let's start at the beginning of your experience with network marketing. How were you first introduced to this industry?
Oh my gosh. All right. So back in the late 80s, I was a small child. I really wasn't, but I was in my 20s and I was approached with a fairly new company, and I took a shot. I didn't know what I was doing for a career, and I took a shot at experiencing building and recruiting in the business. I didn't do well at all. I actually was pretty terrible. I did recruit my boss, which was awesome, and so we did grow a little squad, and I think I probably invested $1,000 in the total startup of everything, and I probably made my money back plus $100 before I finally scrapped the whole idea because I hadn't figured anything out how to do it. But here's what's true. I was a sales guy, and so I had some belief and I had some some desire to express that. And I figured out that what network marketing ultimately was the ability to communicate with sincerity and vision. And that's something that anybody can do. You don't have to be a great salesperson. I was a great salesperson prior to that. The experience in network marketing did not convince me that I was a great salesman because I didn't have great success, but it did anchor in my mind what this really is. It's just being a bright, hope-filled, vibrant communicator, because that's, to me, that's ultimately what network marketing is at its very root and its best. And I think that's why I love it so much, because it provides a beautiful platform for personal development that you can practice in your business, but deploy across the rest of your life in your relationship with your loved ones and your how you inspire your children. Because those things are the same. How you raise your children is how you raise your business, and how you raise your business and inspire the people on your team is how you kind of encourage and inspire your children to be the best that they can be. And so we're all sort of always doing the same thing. And when we realize, when we put on the lenses of what this is and what it isn't, when we put on the clear lenses that way, we can kind of see how awesome it is to do this rather than a lot of other jobs that we go to do. So that's how I see it. That was my introduction to it.
Cool. I love that description of network marketing. That's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
So what do you love the most about this business?
You know, I think what I love the most about it is the fact that you don't have to be from some particular pedigree. You don't have to be from some family. You don't have to come from some college with some degree of some kind. That you can come from anywhere, that you can be from any place, from any kind of a family. Most of us, if we're really honest about it, most of us come from some form of dysfunction and something we're not proud of, and usually something we're moving away from. And we're all in search of communities of meaning. And what I mean by that is just some group that aligns with either our stated purpose as a human being or our search as a purpose for a human being. And communities of meaning show up in different ways. They could be church groups. They could be neighborhood groups. They could be anything, but network marketing is also one of those places, because we also want to make money. So human beings, I think, are driven by a couple of we're all driven by kind of the same stuff. We're looking for safety. We're looking for security. We're looking for stability. Those are kind of the psychological drivers of whatever we're in, whatever relationship we're in or getting out of, whatever community we're joining or leaving. It either provides us safety, security, and stability. And those show up as, safety kind of shows up as trust. Security sort of shows up as control. Stability kind of shows up as peace of mind. So we kind of align ourselves to these kinds of communities because we're in search of that. And the practical sort of Maslow first level of needs, we also want to feel better and make money. I've asked this question of literally of hundreds of thousands of people. How many of you want to make more money this year than last year? It's 100%. Hands go up 100%. And then I asked the question, how many of you would like to be feel better today than yesterday? 100% hands go up, because we're all exactly the same. We're moving through the same way. We're just distributing our experiences a little bit differently. And so we're managing through psychology and opportunity at the same time. And so what I love most about network marketing and direct sales is that as they say in the, I just gave it a more complicated definition, but the simple of it is that ordinary people can live extraordinary lives. And that's what I saw when I first started hanging out with top producers in direct sales. I realized these are really just like truly ordinary humans that have exhibited grit, resilience, positivity, and consistency. And they figured out how to learn the content of their business. They built the clear context of who they are. This is something that I put together in a presentation once. I called it the seven C's. There's a million seven C's, but the seven C's, according to me, are content, which is the what of what we're doing. Context, which is the why. The context has to be very strong as to why you're doing it. Then you have to build your competence, like your skill set. And then when that happens, when you're clear about what you're talking about and why you're talking about it and how to talk about it, your confidence goes up. Competence builds confidence. And you tend to feel better. And when you feel better, you tend to do better. So there's like, it's like a fueling of awesomeness, and it gets results. And so when you have your content, your context, your competence, and your confidence in line, now you're prepared to actually be a good communicator. So you've got good communication. It's all in alignment. We're always happier. We'll always do better when we're in alignment with our authentic selves. And then we can make the commitment. Instead of it just being a wish or a dream, a hope that we're going to succeed, we can now make a commitment, because commitment pushes us through the difficult stuff. That our brains tell us to stop, stop, stop when the pain is there or when it's difficult. But commitment pushes us through that. It takes us a step further. And then is the magic sauce. The magic sauce is consistency. It's just that repetitive consistency. And that bores some people, but it also makes some people very, very wealthy, because that's what ordinary people can do. Ordinary people can run this gauntlet that I just laid out. And I've watched incredible ordinary people become incredible, extraordinary people. And that's what I love about network marketing so much, that you can't do that in traditional work. Very few can. Some do. Some ascend the ladder beautifully and smoothly, and some are taken care of and carried up the ladder. Others fight their way up it. But the truth is, anybody and everybody can do this here in network marketing, and very few can do it there in traditional business. And yet people don't complain about traditional business and how exclusive and how it keeps people away from the opportunity, but they feel safe because they're getting a paycheck. They're getting their dreams bought. They're basically selling their dreams for a weekly paycheck. Whereas over here, people can express their dreams and grit and grind their way through to it. The problem is not everybody has the stick-to-itiveness and the commitment and consistency gene in them. And so they want to blame network marketing for it. And then they go off into the hinterlands and they complain from the outside. That's too hard. I can't do it. That's a bad way to do business. No, it isn't. It's the best way to do business. It's just not for you because you're mentally weak. Mentally tough people are the people that stay in this and they know why they're in it. And they're it's aligned with their heart, their soul, and their brain, and they believe in themselves. They know they're champions before they're ever a champion. And that's what I love about network marketing, is that it's more champions in escrow. It's more champions in hiding than any other place on the planet. And I know it and they know it. They just need to actually live it. And I know that all the chumps are in traditional business yelling over here saying, you aren't champions, because they're in the stands watching while these people are on the field playing. And here's what I also know about that. There are no statues erected to critics. There are no statues erected to people who sit in the stands. In fact, I don't know a single name of the greatest spectators on the planet, but I do know the names of all of the best players on a field. So take your choice. You want to be a great spectator with your popcorn and watch other people play? Cool. Nobody's going to ever know your name and nobody's going to care. You're going to die with the song inside of you, as Henry Thoreau says. But if you are somebody who wants to express their dreams, you come and you play this game, because this is where winners win. It's a fight. It's not easy, but it's definitely doable. And that's why I love this, because anybody can step in and they can align, and I'll grab them by the shoulder, and Laura will grab them by the shoulder, and Janine will grab them by the shoulder, and we will go and figure out how to win together, and we'll educate to accelerate. And that's how we do it. And it's just fun, man. This is just the fun of human science right here. So that's why I love it. How's that for an answer, Janine?
Woohoo! Hallelujah!
Amen. Church is in session. Pass the plate. Let's collect some dues for you guys.
That was amazing! Yay! So what do you think is the biggest misconception about this business?
Well, I think the biggest misconception for some people coming in is that. That it's easier than a job. I think that's the misconception that so many people step in, is that there's a progress and obstacles relationship, right? And there's an ROI that comes with effort. I believe that the best way for me to put this is if you think of it in terms of stairs, right? Four blocks of stairs. There's a learner, there's a leader, there's an influencing leader, and there's an empowered leader. Okay. So this is the ascent that we're trying to work our way through. When you come in as a learner, you're pretty much invisible in the business. Nobody knows your name. Nobody knows your capacity and your capability, which are two distinctly different things, capacity and capability. But nobody knows your intent and your desires. Nobody knows those until you start to show them. And that takes a lot of brain work and effort and a lot of instruction and coaching. And you have to be willing to go through the challenge of that uphill climb before you win and earn the right to succeed. And the problem is that just like business, a network marketing company goes through four stages. I'm sure you've talked about this before, but you have the beginning stage, which is foundation and formulation. Then you move into expansion. Then you hit momentum, and then you hit stability. Well, humans do the exact same thing. They found themselves there. That's their foundational period. Then they have their expansion period, where they're actually figured out how to recruit some people and build a team. And then they themselves and their team start to exponentially grow and explosively grow and have their own personal momentum. And then they stabilize and they hit legacy. And that's the sort of the long continuum. But along the way, there are obstacles. Right. So you're putting in all of this effort at the beginning and you're not getting a lot of pay for it. Right. You're just, it's erratic pay, and you're putting in all this effort and you're spending time and money, and your spouse or your loved ones are like, you're insane. You're on the phone all the time. You're going places. You're going to travel to Bora Bora for a meeting, and it's going to cost us $2,000, and you have made $400. Like, what, are you insane? But the thing is the person isn't insane. They're actually aligned with their dreams, and they know that they have to cut through each obstacle, because with time, if you were looking at a typical graph, you know, the obstacles are high, and your effort is high, but with time you get the progress that shoots up in a momentum phase, and then the obstacles start to be behind you. But the problem is most people hit those obstacles and their brain says, this is too hard. I need to quit. And they hit that quit zone, And if they have a weak context, which is why I'll take you back to the seven C's, if they might know the information, but the most important thing is that context. The context is like the difference between a paper cup and a ceramic mug, right? So if I filled up a paper cup with coffee, which is the one you get when you go to Starbucks or whoever you go to, they hand you a papery, plasticky type of a cup with your coffee in it. Whereas if you're sitting in a restaurant, they'll bring it out in a ceramic mug. Okay. Now, if I were to take a lighter and I were to light the bottom of your Starbucks cup, in the course of time, it would burn a hole in that cup. Do you agree?
Yeah.
So what would happen to the content in that cup? It's going to come out, right?
Yeah.
But if you have that same content in a ceramic mug with that same lighter, I could sit there for 2 hours with that lighter on the bottom of that cup. And what's going to happen is the stuff on the inside is going to heat up. It might feel a little uncomfortable. So if we use the analogy of your team and your business the same way, in business, things heat up. Things get difficult. There's fire. There's difficulty. And if you have a weak context around your business and in your own brain, then you're going to have a hole burned in and everything's coming out because the content in your business is people, money, products, services, hope, all of that. And if you have a strong context, it'll withstand the heat that will inevitably come. And so I think the misconception that you asked about is that it's easy to do. It's not. And that you just need to get in and recruit and no, you have to get in and actually recruit yourself, work on yourself. This is a personal development game. This is not a business building, recruiting, make money game initially. It's actually initially make yourself awesome game. Because the promise that you're bringing to other people is that very question. Because if you come to me and you bring me something, the questions I'm going to ask myself are, number one, do I trust you? Do I? I don't know. Do I? I kind of think I do, but maybe I don't. I don't know. Prove it to me. Do I trust you? Can I do it? And is it worth it? But the overwhelming question is, how are you going to make me more awesome? What's in it for me? How are you going to make me better? Because I know me and I'm not better enough. So I'm looking for how to be better enough. How are you going to help me get there? So the misconception is that this is a money grab and that it's an easy thing to do when it's actually the hardest thing to do because it's you versus you. It's you and the battle of your brain. And that's actually the hardest work on planet Earth, but the most rewarding, the most exciting. And that's why I love it, because I think that it's the greatest industry to be in, because the most beautiful part about MLM is not the money you make. You can make money anywhere. It's nice to make big checks. I love residual income. I get stuff dropped in my account every month and I smile each time I do. But the most important part is the life-changing personal growth that permeates your entire life forever and that you end up giving to other people. It's mindset, skill set, and tool set, right? And it's always mindset first. And mindset's a misnomer because your mind is never set. In fact, I've reframed the word mindset, and I actually say mind flow, which is not a word that anybody says, mind flow, but that's what's happening. And I've taken the word set, and I've actually used it as an analogy in my own brain that it's really about space, energy, and time. So it's mind space, mind energy, and mind time, because you need to build your space, hold your space, open your space for opportunity, possibility, creativity, and the people to come into it. And then you need to have the energy, because life is contracted on the basis of energy. Call it vibes if you want, call it whatever you want, but it's the currency of exchange of life. You can probably tell I have some energy about MLM in this conversation. And if you can't check your pulse, you probably passed away. Because the truth of the matter is I'm sending out energy about how I feel about it on purpose. because I feel strongly about this industry and I feel strongly about against people who are against it because they don't, it's clear they don't understand. So if you have space for it, energy for it, then you have to just allow it the time to mature. You don't grow a tree overnight. You don't grow a business overnight. You don't grow an income overnight. You decide it and you nurture it and you grow it. And I've been doing this for 20 years now. And I learned something every day. And I was excited about it in the beginning. It never went as fast as I wanted it to. But I would never leave it because it's the greatest industry that there is. So I'm giving you really long answers. You are going to have to edit these these things down, I'm sure.
No, that's very good. Very good. I'm taking some good notes. So this is you invest, learn, and teach. So we're investing this time together, and anybody listening is taking their time to invest in this. They're going to learn some great things that they're going to be able to teach, Craig.
They can't be here for 3 hours. So I'll start to shorten.
Well, let's go to what advice would you give to someone who is considering a business in network marketing? Maybe it's advice about the industry, or maybe it's about what to look for in a company. What kind of advice would you give to someone that's considering it?
Yeah, well, I would consider who you are aligning yourself with. I think the most important thing, and when it comes right down to it, is the people you're around. Products come and go. Products are, you'll warm up to a product and then you'll get cold on a product and something new will come out and everything else. Products come and go. It's not about products. If you make a decision to go to a company for a product, you're going to be short-lived. But if you think about the kind of people you want to be around and you align yourself with that, that's like being with a family. That's like being with friends. You know who your friends are that you've had for more than 7 to 10 years. You know who they are. And you know why they're your friends. And your business partners kind of ought to be similar. They ought to be the kind of people that you just want to be around and that will tolerate your inaccuracies, your problems, your mistakes, your indiscretions, whatever it is, that will, they'll just love you anyway, that the relationship is not contingent on your performance, but it's about alignment with who you are as a person. That's ultimately where you're going to be the happiest and feel the safest. As I said before, what psychologically we're looking for, we want to make money and we want to feel better. So that might be your first draw. And by the way, there are different levels of living. And when you're in survival mode, it's okay to be in survival mode. Just be in survival mode and do it. You know, you can survive, and then you can get into just management mode, and then you can get into, leisure, and then you can get into contribution. You can ascend yourself back up. But sometimes we have a chutes and ladders game in our life, and we end up back in survival mode. You could lose a job. We're all just a few circumstances away from, confronting the worst times of our lives. But things change. The sun comes out after every storm, but what makes the sun come out faster is people who love you and you know it and you love them back. And I would say to you that life is 100% a relationship game, and it's how you choose those relationships that has the biggest impact on what you do. Play with people you like to play with. We always have more success at the stuff we have fun doing, and we don't have fun with people we don't like. I have a no asshole rule in my life, right? So if you're an asshole, adios, go bother somebody else. I think life is too short to hang out with crappy people. I did for a long time, and now I'm just like, crappy people are a dime a dozen. Great, awesome people are few and far between. And when you find them, grab them and never let them go. Tell them, be open about it. Be clear. Tell them, live from a place of gratitude. I love that Janine has grateful right behind her right shoulder, because that's the superpower we all have when we live in a place of wide open gratitude. We're operating purely from our heart, and it's our heart that exchanges the best of our lives. Our brain will analyze it. Our gut will feel it, but our heart will exchange the best of life. And if your heart is not aligned with the people that you're working with, move on. Move on, let it go, close it out, make the hard adult decision, and don't stick around BS. That's what I would say. Like, that's the, I'm old enough to have experienced both of these decisions. And the only one that makes sense is to choose from your heart and not from your wallet, because you won't do it. You'll get sick of it. It'll cloud your vision. It'll pollute your mind, and you'll end up leaving anyway. So follow your instinct and follow your heart, and you'll be a much happier human being in this business. That's the best advice I could give.
Great answer. I think the people that we find in this business, the ones that are successful, are just some of the best people on the planet.
Agreed.
So what do you think it takes to be successful in this business?
I think it takes an absolute personal commitment to self-education. I think it's, if you will educate yourself every day, you will restore the energy to go do what you have to do. And you'll feel like you have something to contribute to somebody else. When you stop personally learning, you end up getting into a place of, I would say, like, emotional atrophy. And what we're really looking for in life is, you know, just good physical energy, good emotional well-being, clear thinking, like putting our face to the sun and feeling the warmth of possibility of life. That's what we secretly all are trying to work our way toward. And challenges in life actually sort of inhibit some of those things. So in my mind, to be successful, you have to constantly be working on your mindset. You have to constantly be building your talents and your knowledge, because that creates some skills, which also affects your mindset. I look at it this way. We are driven for our and measured by our results. Would you agree with that? Results are results. If you stand on the scale gives you a number, and you could be mad at the scale, but the scale's just giving you data and feedback, right? And those are our results. So we have our bank account, we have our waist size, we have our house that we live in. We have a lot of different things that give us feedback and results on how we're doing in life. So if you don't like that, if you're dissatisfied with your current level of results and you want more, which I assume everybody here does, including myself, then we have to be considerate of the behaviors that we're about. It's about activities and behaviors, but that's more than that, because corporate America spends billions of dollars trying to change people's behaviors, and that's very short-lived. You can force somebody to change their behaviors, but that's not power. There's a difference between power and force, right? Force has, by the laws of nature, an equal or greater counterforce. So you can force somebody to do something, but they're going to force their way back. That's just life, right? Power is different. Power lays upon you. Power is like gravity, right? It just is. Love is power. It just is. You can't force love. Think about that. You can force you to love me? Really? Like, no. So if you want to be success, you can't force success. Success is, in fact, the result of your alignment with your behaviors. So what are behaviors? Behaviors are the summation of your belief operating system. I call it your boss, your BOS, right? If you don't like your results, fire your boss, get a new boss. You need a new belief operating system. And what the construct of your belief operating system is, the two primaries are your mindset and your attitude. Les Brown was famous for saying, your attitude either puts you in your way or on your way, right? A good attitude is everything. A bad attitude is everything equally. And your mindset is your willing, it's like your fluid willingness, your fluid choices. So what makes up your mindset? Well, it's your conditioning. It's your life's conditioning, your current conditioning, and all of your past conditioning. Unfortunately, most of us grew up with families whose parents were not necessarily entrepreneurs, were probably not in direct sales, probably gave you the best that they could give you, but it came from their own broken construct. Think about it. If somebody who's broken is giving you advice, how good is that? How good is it? It can't be that good. It's probably from the right place, but if they implanted in your brain a bunch of limiting beliefs that they have, how are you going to become unlimited with limiting base beliefs? They're like encoded in your youthful DNA. You've got to recondition and rewrite what your story. You have to. You can't believe everything that you have in your brain. It's there to like trick you. So if your conditioning is off, then your mindset is going to likely be off. Your fluid choices are going to be tweaked by bad conditioning. So the hardest work, I said before, is the work in here, which is reconditioning the well-intended but poor thoughts given to you from a lifetime. You got to replace all that stuff. You got to rewrite your story. It's your script and your story. You're the star of it. So don't live a horror movie. Don't live a tragedy. You need to live an adventure love story with a happy ending like that. You got to rewrite your character, right? And on the other side, when your attitude, adjusting your attitude, making sure it's the right attitude, there's nothing wrong psychologically. Even Brené Brown talks about this currently, is there's nothing wrong with addressing unhappiness, depression, anxiety, all of those things. They're real. They're real, real, real. And it's not a fake thing like, oh, well, I just got to be, you know, Joe Happy Pants. No, that's not what we're talking about. Attitude. Attitude is a conviction. Attitude is commitment. Attitude is power. Attitude is desire. You could be depressed and still be powerful. Like, attitude is not about like a fake facade. It's a pure energetic line running through you. Well, how do you get that? You build talents. Talents live underneath attitude. If I could teach you all right now how to juggle just in right now in 5 seconds, you'd be pretty excited about it. You'd be like, yeah, cool. This is something that really happened to me. I went to a 3-day event, and one of the things we had to do was learn to juggle by the end of the 3-day event. I had no idea how to juggle. Now I know how to juggle. I don't juggle anything dangerous. I just juggle stuff that if it falls on me, it, you know, won't kill me. But it was a cool thing. It was a cool experience to go through 3 days where you had to learn. I had to work against a wall. I had to figure out my hand movement, the ball movement, my eyes, and all this kind of stuff. And it shifted me. So it was a talent. And once I had that talent and I learned it, my attitude changed. I was like, yes, this is cool. I can't wait to show somebody else that I can do this. And then that actually drove my behaviors. So what I'm really getting at, if you want to be successful in this business, is that you have to go in and work on your belief operating system, and not just your mindset and your attitude, but go deeper, build the talents. What's a talent? A talent is knowledge. A talent is constant education. It's you educate to legitimize yourself. You teach to legitimize the business, and you do to legitimize the strategy and build a legacy, right? So you've got to go deep, build the talents, recondition your life story, and that will change your mindset and your attitude, which will drive your behaviors, and that you can measure, manage, and dream about, and the results will be a byproduct and a reflection of that. So if you want to be successful in anything, It's that combination. Fire your old boss, get yourself a brand new awesome boss, and you'll take care of life.
Yes, yes. The secrets of life, words of wisdom from Craig Cushman. Some good lessons in here that I know have taken you a lifetime to learn and apply as well. Hey, Craig, to wrap up, we love to do something fun with our guest and just find out, what is something that's making your life easier these days? What's something you love? It could be a gadget or a book or whatever. What's something that you're really enjoying these days?
I'll show you.
What VR is glasses. That?
VR glasses are my favorite thing right now. I am having so much fun in Oculus world and playing. There's so much here. You can watch YouTube. You can watch movies on Netflix. You can play wildly cool games. I was playing paddle tennis with my friend in Amsterdam and another guy in Estonia this week. So this is like the most fun I've had in a long time. And what I love about it, there's a book by a guy named Peter Diamandis, who he wrote a book called The Future is Faster Than You Think. And it's a couple years ago, but there are multiple chapters about virtual reality, augmented reality, artificial intelligence, and 3D printing, all of which I know only marginal amounts. I know a lot more about it now than I did then as a result of reading this book. And this, my friends, is the future. This is actually the future of recruiting, because we will have virtual meetings with people. We won't always be in goofy glasses like this. These will get better and better. As a matter of fact, there's a company in America that's building like lenses that you can put on your eyes that are going to be this. So like, we're moving toward away from this clunky thing. We're going to look back at these things like we look at the telephone from the Waltons, you know. that's what this is going to look like. But I will say that this is an incredible place to go, because in a world of lockdowns and craziness like we have now, What people are really driven toward is personal freedom, especially in America. We love freedom. That's why one of the reasons I love Brendon Burchard's Motivation Manifesto, because it starts off, the entire beginning of this book is all about independence and freedom, and we want that. And what VR provides is a new place to go and have freedom and feel like you went somewhere. You can go visit the Louvre. You can go. I was in the Dali Museum last night. That was freaky. There's all kinds of stuff. So this is my favorite gadget right now. This is the one I'm having the most fun.
And what is that called?
This is called an Oculus 2. It's an Oculus Quest 2. It's actually the Oculus brand was purchased by Facebook a couple years ago. I'm not in the mood of promoting anything around Facebook right now, but I will say that the Oculus platform inside of this is pretty incredible. You can get anything, you can watch anything, you can go anywhere. And there are other virtual worlds and platforms being developed right now. So you'll have multiple choices in time. But this is an incredible experience, literally an incredible experience. And these glasses, I think, they're like $300 on Amazon. You can get smaller ones. I also bought a pair for like $35 that your cell phone can slip into, but there's limited experiences, and I was wanting better experiences. So I plunked down the $300. There's actually one for, I think even more, that has more whatever, but this is the Oculus 2 is fine. It's 64 meg. And I think it was a couple $100, but fun. And, but I warn you in advance, you'll get lost and addicted, and this will become your next, like, well, do I go to the cell phone or do I go to this? So just be warned in advance. Sorry for what I just gave to you guys.
Oh my gosh. So quick last question. We know that people in this profession are big givers. What is something that you love to give back to?
So, what I love to give back to is I like my greatest joy in life is to pour hope into the hopeless. There's far, far too many people in the world that are that have given up on a lot of things. And I think that for me, I pull people out of crowds or places or groups, small groups inside of the companies I work with, friends groups, and I spend and give an enormous amount of my personal time, talents, and energy to restoring hope and momentum. I believe that we're trying, all of us, to get into an optimal life experience, which is the word flow. The word flow is willingly living in a moment that stretches us but doesn't overwhelm us. And so many people psychologically are overwhelmed and they're in inertia. And I think that what we have in the world is a confluence of opportunity, skill sets, but the missing piece is humans that have an energetic hope for a brighter future. And what I pour into people daily, all the time. I'm on calls all the time, several times a day, where I give free coaching, is if you will. Because my personal heart and soul is most satisfied when I can move somebody out of the shadows, out of the darkness, into the light with a restored hope. And I believe that's our job. In science, that's called precession. In life, it's my profession, right? Precession is the act of bodies in motion on other bodies in motion. And it would be similar to standing on a bridge with a rock and dropping a rock into a river that's running underneath the bridge. The rock is in motion, the river's in motion. When it hits the water, the ripples are in motion, the splash is in motion. It's a body in motion on other bodies in motion, much like a honeybee. A honeybee comes out, goes in the flower, gets nectar. While it's in the flower getting nectar, it gets pollen all over it. It flies out to the next flower. And while it's flying, it's buzzing and it's dropping pollen all over the place. And the bee has no idea in its tiny little bee brain that it's cross-pollinating the world. We have bigger brains, so we know that when we're out doing these things, we are cross-pollinating the world with hope and possibility. And I believe that's the most noble thing we can do as humans. That's what I believe. And so that's what I do, is I am constantly, chronically, hopefully, willingly cross-pollinating the world with possibility and hope. And it goes right to what Laura said in the beginning, which is that when I discovered who I was on this planet and why I'm here, I believe I'm here to awaken possibilities in the people and organizations that I work with. I believe that it's as Benjamin Franklin said, it's energy and persistence that conquer all things. And I think that that's my purpose and time on the earth. And so I would say just get out and cross-pollinate as much as you can with goodness. That's what I like to do to give back. I mean, I do give money and stuff like that, but I'm not going to get into all that kind of stuff. But it's the most powerful legacy that I feel I want to leave. When I'm dead, I want people to think about the fact that this dude gave time and knowledge and experience freely and willingly to anybody and everybody. And I hope to touch thousands and thousands of people in my lifetime. And if I'm remembered for anything, besides my incredibly beautiful family and children and grandbabies, I hope that I'm remembered for just freely and willingly giving everything that I have to humanity. Because I believe that elevating humanity is the most important human thing we do. So how's that?
Wonderful. Beautiful. I love it.
Well, you've certainly been very generous and giving today with your time and with your lessons and your experience. And I love the framework that you were able to put these lessons in, whether it was an alliteration or an acronym. I love how you framed it and made it more memorable for us. So thank you, Craig. Thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it. And I know everyone will enjoy and take something away from it too.
Hope so.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. We hope you've gained some clarity from today's show. If you did, please share it with your friends, family, and colleagues.
Because when you share it and drop a review, it helps other people find us and helps us get this message out. Please join us each week to hear from people who are in the trenches and have their own personal experience with this business. And if you'd like to learn more about this topic, subscribe to our show and visit our website. We'd also like to recommend two books co-authored by Janine Finney and her daughter, Lori Merhead, The Flip Flop CEO and Does the Shoe Fit? The Guide to Help You Decide.
We invite you to join our Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn communities as well.
Be sure to tune in to our next episode because making a decision with only half the information could be the most expensive mistake you can make.